Very happy to be here tonight and pray for this sick and this sick to begin, and trusting that God will make his love manifest to all of these people.
British, and so that was certainly quite a the people, I guess, thought there was had some demons over here in the United States, so they sent the mail on down to Durban, South Africa. And so then that night, I was in the room, and we had such a glorious meeting. The angel of the Lord had come down, the medical association called me up to have breakfast with them, gave me the right hand of fellowship, put anything in our hospital, it's at your disposal. Come on, anybody wants to come, come be prayed for. I said, Reverend Branham, that's true divine healing. He said, we're not opposed to that. And I said, thank you. And so we, in all the newspapers and speaking and how the Lord was blessing, seemed kind of strange to have to meet with many, many, many thousands of people. We couldn't even get them into the city. They were out in the very big field of the place where they had a grounds out there. And so, but I said, I'd like to go down to Cape Town. That's about as far south as you can go without going to the South Pole. I said, I'd like to go down there. So I said, doesn't make any difference to me. And that night, the angel of the Lord appeared to me by vision. He said, don't go with them, man. You stay right here for 2 more weeks. And then go to this farm where the man is going to speak to now, Mr. Jackson. And then from there, you go on over to Durban and stay there a month. Well, little did I know, if that was the only place that they didn't have segregation, all my managers, Zane, the man, Brother Baxter said, well, you see the National Committee, and I went to see them, and oh, wow, you talk about going up, the only thing, they're an ecclesiastical setup. So I said, no, sir, we're not going to do it. We're going on down that way. I said, brother, the Lord told me not to do it. So I said, no, I can't do that. So I just refused to do it. Well, here they come the cars and take me anyhow. And we're on the road down. I said, stop the car. I said, the Lord is telling me not to do this. So I stopped. There's a lot of locusts in South Africa. And so I pulled off some of the leaves off the locust tree, spread it over the man's feet. I said, in the name of the Lord, we can't take that trip. I said, it's not the Lord's will. Oh, yes, it is. And the minister got right back at me. One of them walked up and said, Brother Bailey, don't you think God speaks to somebody else besides you? I said, Cora had that idea one time when he talked to Moses. Yes, follow him up. I said, this one thing I do know, I don't know what he told you, but I know what he told me. And I said, after I stood there for these 3 or 4 nights in Johannesburg, and you see me work moving and so forth, and then me to tell me that I wouldn't know what God said, Mr. Baxter, well, at the time, called me over to one side and talked to me. He said, well, this is all, these men here were counting under, I said, but Brother Baxter, this is a vision from the Lord. He said, and I have no more to do with it. It's just a vision from the Lord. And I don't just most all of you know Brother Bosworth, a very fine Christian gentleman. And he was with us. He walked over to me and said, Brother Brandon, I think you're wrong there. I said, oh, Brother Bosworth. I said, you see? So they've been on anyhow. We got there just a few miles and then we from it when we got around there, a little place with about 6,000 people and probably 10,000 there. No place to eat, sleep, or nothing. So it was raining out there, and it was a nice, fine, warm day. And just before they got ready to take me to the meeting that night, there come a tropical storm. You people in America don't know what a storm is when you see one of those. And like to drowned everybody out there, and at 10 o'clock it was still raining. No service. All the ministers came back to the place where I was. I said, I told you. The Lord isn't satisfied. He's angry because we are doing out of his will. Well, he said, the Lord told us to do this. I said, he might have, but he told me not to. And he said, well, then the next day, he said, oh, this is our time, Brother Ben. And the next day, just by the time he got ready to take the letter, come a blizzard and I could throw everybody to death. Then he came back. I said, now, tomorrow night, we'll have earthquake for him. So they said, you mean we'll have an earthquake? I said, no, I know. It means that he told me we'd have no faith, but brethren, we're out of the will of God. And we can't prosper doing this. So at 2 o'clock in the morning there, we were still going strong. And I said, the Lord has told me to return to Johannesburg and stay there for 2 weeks and then go to Durban and stay there a month. They couldn't see that. So we promised the brethren. I said, no matter what you promised the brethren, God is speaking. Man, sometimes we just get ourselves so wrapped up just the way it was. That's the way it is today. Same thing. So wrapped up in it, just think it has to be according to the way the association says so, or you're not in the ring. You're wrong. God deals with individuals. That's right. Always has. And he does things that's very hard to understand. You have to know God to understand him. You know that. You know the scriptures. If you know the scriptures, you know it's true. So we just had an awful time. Then about 2 o'clock in the morning, somewhere along the way, it was getting late. I said,
all he has is permission will to permit something, but he wants to work God's permission will. I will do what he wants me to do. See? Not being permission will. Well, it went on. So they got, his permission will. Go ask him about that. Well, I went in to pray, and Billy Paul went in with me, my boy. Your little fellow gives out the prayer cards here. And when he went in the room, I shall never forget, he put his arm around me as he walked in the door, said, Daddy, you listen to God. Don't you listen to preachers out there. But I'm with you. But we have to swim home, see? But I'll stay right with you, Daddy. You better listen to God. I'd have been a million times better off if I'd listened to the boy, too. And I say that with respect. He's just a kid, but he certainly, God was with him. And I got down to pray. He'd go pray with me. Of course, just being a lad, he got sleepy and went to bed. And I prayed on till long in the morning. He came into the room, and I said, what are these men? What do they mean? He said, go on down with him. He said, you're in a condition now. It's been laid out like this, so you have to do it. He said, but remember, it's not the will of God, and you're going to pay for it. But go on. Said, you might know this. Said, go wake up your son and tell him in the morning they're going to send him to Sunday school. And they're going to decide to pray for the sick. And on the road back, he's going to start back with a man in a little black car. And he's going to pick up another young man. And on the road down, there'll be a maiden dressed in a white sapphire suit, standing by the eucalyptus tree near a bridge, taking stock of another little sickening to him. Said, your son will call your attention. But by that, you will know that I'm letting you go. But remember, you'll pay for it. So when he left the room, I went and woke Billy up and told him, Mr. Baxter, which is right here now, standing right back behind the platform here, can walk out and give a testimony if there's any error to this. Mr. Jackson, he's studying present and many others. And I'll walk him to after waking Billy up and tell him, Billy, what the angel of the Lord said. See, God respected him because he was on the right side. So I walked in to where the man was. I woke them all up, Brother Bosworth, Brother Baxter, Brother Sackcliffe, all of them. I said, I have the word from the Lord. He just met me in the room. Now, he said we could go down there, but it will not be as successful like it should be. And we're going to suffer, I am myself going to suffer a great loss, and you all are going to suffer too. And I said, because he told me that I was not obeying his orders, but he would permit it to me to be after continuous he's going to step this up and done that, but it's not his will, and I'll have to pay for it. And Brother Baxter, which is listening to me now, I said, thus saith the Lord, if we take that meeting, it'll be, when we go back to America, it'll be between 6 months and a year before we ever have another service. I said, something's fixing to happen. That's when the Freeport region, the Holy Spirit came up on me, and I was prophesying and said that there was a trap set for me in Africa. You mean now? Okay? Be back in 2 minutes? He's called on a place to go. So, I went down, and I said, well, all right. We'll see what takes place. Brother Bosworth, a dear old man, like a daddy to me, he turned over in the bed, he said, Brother Branham, you're wrong. I looked at him and my heart just broke. See, no matter who it is, you got to put your trust in God. And they're my own brothers. And Brother Bosworth said, Brother Bam, you're wrong there. He said, if you go down to take this to Canada, you go down to the ocean, you go to see me exceedingly, abundantly, above all, you know, his words. And I said, Brother Bosworth, do you mean to tell me I'm speaking to you, Brother Bosworth, that God has appeared in the vision? Which cannot fail. And he said, Brother Branham, I read the book one time where Satan gave Adam a false vision.
my brother. I said, Brother Bowles, have you stood with me on the platform for the past 5 years then? And you've seen everything, you know it's perfect. I said, I don't know what Satan did to Adam, but I know this comes from God. And I said, now look at this, see, you, no matter who it is, when God tells you to do something, you do it. I don't care if it's your mother, daddy, if it's your pastor, if it's the prophet, or whoever it is, you listen to God. And you remember, I'm telling you the truth. Witnesses are standing here. God is my witness. I said, all right, I told him what was going to happen. Went on out that morning when they went down there. Sure enough, they sent back the one who come pray for sick. A young fellow came up with Billy in a little black car. Of course, you're not supposed to speak to me because he done told me to make ready for the anointing to preach and to pray for the sick. And on the road, he picked up another boy on the road up. And Billy was all thrilled about that. And on the road down, he turned around and said, Daddy, something is standing by a eucalyptus tree, by a bridge, serenaded with a white sapphire suit on, sitting beside him. He said, Daddy, look at that man. Did he hit that earth? And I said, you remember what I told you? The little fellow cried when he seen what the Lord had brought to the... I said, you see, Paul, I can go, but Dad will suffer for this. Well, as we left there, we went to Clarksville. There was trouble setting in. First one thing and then another, one minister there, minister, said, the brothers told me to be like my church. About 15,000 people with a church that would seat about 500. No, sir, we wasn't going to get near a place that promised it would be in his church. And that's where it was going to be held. Brother Bodwick just stuck off his hat and walked down the street. Brother Baxter walked away and he's got him another place to stay. I said, Brother Bodwick, this is that exceedingly abundantly above all the cities. And if it is, you ever what we're told you? It'll be this until we go home. I said, you see if it isn't. And Brother Baxter, he's near now as a witness before God and know this to be the truth, knows that that is the truth. And there it just started from one thing to another, just as what was piling one on top of the other, one on top of the other, until we come back down to Cape Town. Now the Lord blessed his power, his work, went right on just the same. But when it came to the place that we started back up towards Grahamstown, out of Port Elizabeth, Brother Baxter taken very sick. Very sick. Billy Paul taken very sick. Now we started with one thing piling on top of another. And then, after a while, I taken sick. I went to the Lord to turn his back on me. We went on through Durban. I stood there under the inspiration. God brought 30,000 people in one altar call to the altar. Yet, that was God's grace. But me, I knew it. And then when we got to Durban, there was only place to let the black people and white people come together. The other sound, the Holy Spirit knew that in the beginning. And so there was just as far as you could see people out on a big racetrack, just as far as you could see this solid mass of people. And for 4 city blocks down the street, they were sitting, just like you're sitting here, blocked off in city blocks. Pouring down rain and so forth. They never noticed that. They just kept sitting there. But and then when I got down to Australia, they let me stay here a while. They had the meeting already arranged just, I think, 3 days in Durban. Then I had to go come over to southern Rhodesia. Come up into Rhodesia then. And then come back down to Pretoria. I had to be up there 2 days. And so sick, I couldn't hold my head up. Then I went back to the meeting, all of us sick, and all tore up, everything gone wrong. I went back to the man. I said, do you remember what I told you? Come across the street, I said to Brother Baxter, you remember when I got here to America, come to find out that down in there among the Indians somewhere, in there, had set in parasites, sticking in the stomach, down through the intestinal tract, which is causing the dysentery, and is just about to die, every one of us, sick, upset. Then God began to speak to me. Then I promised him as I walked the floor and crying, and we never had another meeting until it was between 7 and 8 months after that. I was so sick I couldn't go. Just as sick I just couldn't even raise my head up hardly. Just standing there waiting for God. And then one night he came down in a vision. Oh, you never know how it feels. He walked down there. I was laying in the room. He came to me and he said, now don't fear. My sin was forgiven. He told me what was going to happen. He said, now, it's going to go away from you. You'll be all right, but don't disobey no more. So what told you? He said, now, you're going to take a meeting, and he set me down again at Durban, South Africa. Now, see, a little meeting of many, many thousands fading into the blue to the west. Sitting before me, set tens of thousands of people. Then he told me, he said, turn to your right. And as I turned to my light, a great light came down from heaven, hung over where I was. There was an oscillating light, and in there were men dressed half like this, with something wrapped around, little skinny-looking men, with their hands up in the air, praising God. And I said, they look like Indians. And then this light came down, and oscillating light, and went way back over the hills, and there were thousands times thousands of them in there. And then I said, are they all black people? And he put it down in front of me, and there were white people. And I looked back this way, and there were the Indian-type people. And I said, and then it came real close to me, and I heard the number that he called. He said, there's 300,000 of them in that meeting. Now mark that down in your book. You see if there is a meeting help. There, there was consists of 300,000 people. That's before it comes to pass that you might know. How many of you remember of the prophesying of a little boy would be raised by 2 years before he was raised in famine? Those up here knew that know about, look at that, the witnesses, see? All just exactly what he would look like, where he would be, just how it would be. And he was laying dead for around 30 minutes on the highway. Many of you remember the story. And how it was there, I said it over here in the voice of him. There with the Spanish officials with their stamps ringing him out off the gate, government seals on the paper that had taken place. A little boy had been stricken and killed. That was a vision of the Lord came down, told about the other boy. You've heard the story many times, no doubt, in the book. Now, those things are what God says in. Now, the other day, when I wouldn't make a meeting until God spoke to me. And then I felt very definitely impressed about Hammond, Indiana. When I went down to Hammond to look around, well, I seen the auditorium, wasn't air conditioned. Everybody said, that's a graveyard, don't you go there. Boy, if you go there, that's a really a graveyard. Said, there's nothing there. Said, some fellow's been down in there, speaking about me, and scattered the things that are horrible. Well, the Lord told me to go to Hammond. So I went to Hammond. He said, how long are you going to stay? I said, from one day till Jesus comes. I don't know. I said, now, don't never make a meeting any different time. Well, I don't know. Just, I promised God, just as he would lead, I'd go. Just wherever he went. I don't, that's the reason I'm not with the voice of healing. None of those papers. I can have papers. No, sir. If I follow God, I ain't got time for papers. I got to do what he tells me to. Some of these men can set their meetings for 2 or 3 years ahead. If they live there, that's their ministry. Mine's not that time for ministry. I've got to do what he says do. All of you realize that. And then he sent me to him. There's a meeting here down here in Baltimore, I believe it was, got an auditorium that seated 10,000 people, absolutely free the whole month of July, air conditioned, and 500 preachers signed up. I got the papers laying in my desk today, some of them Methodists, some of them Baptists, and full gospel preachers, 500 of them to cooperate with the meeting. Brother Bosworth said, you can't beat that, Brother Branham. I said, God can. One place where he would tell me, I don't care if there isn't 5 people there. If he tells me to go, that's where I want to go. It isn't the idea of how many people there. It's the will of God we have under consideration. Now, these men who just pray for the sick and come up and they say, we'll be here in this year and we'll be over there at a certain date and their papers are going out. That's all right. That's their ministry. Mine's not that type of ministry. And so, I don't know where else to go tomorrow. And wherever the Lord would say. And then, Brother Baxter said, there's many people here, some people from Battle Creek, there's some people from over here and down here and up to Minneapolis and all around, people from San Francisco and so forth. Great meetings to be said. I said, Brother Baxter, I have no meeting at all. None at all. He said, well, let's go into Chicago. We got a great big place up there, a big arena of a place. I said, sounds all right. Then he started to go down there one day and said, well, shall I secure it? Mr. Bose and some of the ministers was down there. I said, no, better wait a minute. I took my wife and him and went down and put them over at the planetarium. They wouldn't look through there. I walked back, went over towards this place, and the Holy Spirit said, stay out of there. And I stayed out, too. I just bypassed it on by. So then, I don't know why, I don't know. And he said, turn aside the Zion. I promised that. Long time ago, and I sung under obligation. I said, all right, I'll go over to Zion. And then Brother Baxter comes in and said, what about, where are we going from here? I said, now, Brother Baxter, I have no leading. He said, Brother Branham, if we get an auditorium, you got to place it down. And I said, yes, that's true. He said, well, what do you think about Battle Creek? He said, would you like to go up to Battle Creek? I said, the Battle Creek's just as clear to me as any of the rest of it. And I said, I think it'd be all right. And so he said, well, I'll find out. And I believe he wrote up to the ministers or called them up or something there. He come back and said, you feel like you'd like to go to Battle Creek? I said, yes, I have two other considerations. One of them is Minneapolis, and one of them is Battle Creek. I'm thinking on those two, praying about those two, but I don't know just yet. I said, I believe I feel a little more leading towards Battle Creek. I said, I'd rather go to Battle Creek. I believe because I've been in Minneapolis before. He said, all right, so I'll make it Battle Creek. Well, I didn't know it was set up for a big long time. So then, finally, I even told a baby's maid, I said, we'll be home this coming Monday, if the Lord permits. I said, as far as I know, I'll feel like between two places because I had a reason not to go to Battle Creek, over there because I've been there before. Well, about 4 days before I went to then, Brother Baxter said, Brother Bozay said that we could have the auditorium of this church and this little auditorium going to come by 2 or 3 nights before going over. I said, well, I'll take it under consideration. I said, now we may be there one night. If the Lord says move, I go. He said, we better take the church then. I said, all right. Yeah, I said, now if it's all right, maybe one night. All right, we went on over there. We had a great rest for me. But before I went up there, one night I was laying there, and I listened closely. This is a confession. And I been up way late tonight, people coming and everything. And I went to sleep, and I slept through the night, and about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened up by a terrible dream. I dreamed I seen a great big muddy wave coming and struck a little stain, and I know my wife was in there, and I ran in and grabbed her and got out of the place. And I said, oh, thanks the Lord. And I woke up. And I said, my, it's an awful dream. And I looked over to her, and she was asleep. The babies were asleep. I said, well, now something happened right there. I don't know what it was. In a few moments, I said, well, this is strange. I was thinking about a dream that I had in my room. And here I am sitting here on a sailboat of holding my hands in real clear blue water, not muddy water, clear blue water. And I was going up the stream. Not, I thought, well, say, am I dreaming? And just a moment, I heard something behind me making a noise, going put, 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 put. I thought, well, this, what, I don't understand it. It's like if I was somewhere else and say I was speaking on the microphone in the church just a few moments ago, see? Just, I thought this is strange. And it kept coming. I noticed there's a little something in the water swirling up that way, and it come up to me, and then turn that way. Then you go down, come back around this way, what, and then turn that way, and come back again. I said, I don't understand this, and something drew near me. So look ahead. And I looked, and the road turns to the right. No water. There's one turn to the left. So what it's trying to tell you, turn to the left. And then well, what? I come to myself, I thought, hey, was that a dream, or did the Spirit of the Lord come on me? The first time in all my life it ever did that. And I thought, well, that's the strangest thing that I ever seen. And I woke up my wife, I said, honey, something's happened. I don't know whether to announce a vision or whether I went to sleep. I don't know. I said, it seems too clear to be asleep, but I'm not sure. And I told her what it was. Oh, I said, you think it was a dream because I was awake. I said, I might have went back to sleep. See, I said, I don't know. I can't tell what happened. In a few minutes, we went on out and was called out to breakfast. And after breakfast all day long, I kept saying, I bet this keeps staying with me. I tried to throw it off my mind. He said, oh, I just dreamed that. You can't put confidence in the dream, you know that. So I just said, that's a dream. That wasn't that. But I said, it still was there with me. When I got over to Chicago, I called Brother Baxter. And I said, Brother Baxter, the strangest thing, something tells me it turns in my left. I said, I don't know. And he said, well, and he's in a hurry. And it went on. We come over here. And then, when I got over here, The Holy Spirit caught me the other day. I told you to turn to your left. But then, in my room, I've been kind of perplexed about the way things are going. It didn't seem like the Spirit of God was operating right in the meeting. But the doctor comes and said, Brother Branham, I said, yes. I said, now, of course, the gift of God, that operates anywhere. That's gift and calling without repentance, you see. God will hold you responsible for what you do with it, see. And so then I said, there's something wrong. I said, a little auditorium won't see the work. 2,500 people. There's that little group. I said, but that isn't it, Brother Baxter. I said, there's something wrong. The Holy Spirit said, Brother Bam, I can't even speak. And I said, I don't know what's wrong. And I said, I can't tell you. And I said, well, I'm taking tomorrow afternoon and closing myself up and stay before God. And that's when he told me. I repented. And we called a minister. One of the ministers, Brother Flo, came up. Brother Baxter said, will you speak to him? I said, yes, I'll speak to Brother Flo. I said, Brother Baxter, I don't know. And then I said, here I stood at you, reveal it to me, coming up to that Lake Michigan, that blue water turned that way. I said, certainly. I don't know what in the world is going to be, Brother Baxter. I didn't recognize that provision. I said, I've asked God to forgive me. I've asked him to forgive me. He wouldn't speak in the meeting in the beginning of the week. I said, I don't know why I ever did that. Then Brother Flo came up and sitting in the room as a gallant pastor of any group of people. He discussed it and he said, Brother Branham, I know that God did this. I said, I'm not disputing your word, Brother Flo. He said, well, look here. Then Brother Baxter said, now, Brother Branham, we got the minister, this brother here, under consideration. I said, yes, that's right. Said, the rest of the cooperating ministers, 14 churches, we got them under consideration. I said, that's right, sir. Just then the Holy Spirit, I felt it. If you believe me to be God's servant, you listen to me now. God Almighty had permitted me to be kind of mixed up in that vision for the first one in my life to get me right back on the same pinnacle that I was at Clarksville, South Africa. There I was, the ministerial group, and this all under consideration, and even the manager speaking towards the ministerial group, and here I was standing here to make my choice to serve God, do what God did, or do what the ministry said to me. That was my place. The grace of God came down. I said, brethren, I love you. We know that, and God knows that with all my heart. I said, but the Holy Spirit tells me to go yonder on the other side of the lake. And I said, I'm not going to be like I did in Africa, wait for something happens. And I said, I'm going to the other side of the lake. So then I said, I love you. God knows that, but I must be obedient to God. And I promise him I'll never do it again. And I said, I must do it. And I said, now, Brother Baxter, in confirmation, give a ring over there. And just as we gave the ring over there, they were waiting for the auditorium and so forth. Waiting. See how it was? Just exactly. I said, now, we don't want to leave these brothers standing in it like this. We'll finish out the week with them here. Now, Brother Flo, I guess he's sitting somewhere now listening to me. And he's a very fine Christian gentleman. And he was fighting for his church, of course, and for his prestige. And if the people here, he said he'd told the people this meeting, and so forth. I said, he said, what would I do about the public? Now, I know that was a hard thing, as he was checking me up. That was a slip up on Brother Baxter. He shouldn't have made the meeting like that in the beginning. He should have said it just like we had an agreement to, but he'd seen the other meetings that went all the way through, thought maybe this one was the same. So he said, he said, from this on, I never did set that up like that again. I'll let it be according to the Holy Spirit. Then, notice what's taking place. Then, to Brother Flo, he said, look, I can't understand, Brother Branham, that God would answer our prayer and then make all these things possible here, and then turn around and send us. I said, Brother Flo, you know what you need here in this city? Now, here we are, friends. I am responsible to God. What you need in this city is a good old time gospel Holy Ghost church in this city. You need a revival, not a healing service. You need a revival to get people back on the spiritual line. Now, serious. Now, I love you, but remember, friends, I'm duty bound to Jesus Christ. You need a revival. See? I said, looking here, do you? He said, well, the Christians might understand, but I said, look at Philip, having the biggest revival he ever had, and the Holy Spirit told him, get out of there and go out to the desert Gaza. Is that right? He never returned back no more. He went on, the Holy Spirit called him away and left that meeting standing there. Philip is the revival, or has his revival. Now, I said, and also, he turned around, and the Holy Spirit first moved over to Brother Baxter. I seen that light move down in the room, moved over to Brother Baxter. I thought he was going to have me say something to Brother Baxter, but it switched and come to Brother Flo. I seen that, what he was doing. I said, now, Brother Flo, the scripture you're thinking of now, you're thinking about that Isaiah that went up to Hezekiah and said, that's what I was, that's exactly. Confirmation, the Holy Spirit there to prove. I said, look here, there's a real scripture. I said, God told Isaiah, go up there and tell the king Hezekiah, set your house in order, for you're not coming off this bed, you're going to die. Is that right? Now, let's just take this just for a moment. Now, the first thing you know, here comes all the people, here's the high up here, standing near the king's palace. There's the guards at the gate, there's the poor people on the outside listening. Here goes the prophet in the seat for the word of the Lord. Comes back out, and all the delegates of the king stand there saying, prophet of God? We know that the word of the Lord dwells in you. What about the king? He's not coming off of that bed. Thus saith the Lord. He's going to die on that bed. All right, that settled it. Walked on out to the gate, and I can see the gate and say, prophet of God, what saith the Lord concerning our king? He's a righteous man, he's a godly man, and he's laying there on the bed. What saith the Lord concerning him? Thus saith the Lord. He's going to die on that bed and not come off the bed. Walked on out into the poor class of people, all of them standing out there weeping, oh, the righteous king laying on the bed. Prophet of the Most High God. He had confidence in him. Isaiah with his prestige as a prophet. Said, what does the Lord say? Prophet of God, who the Lord is in his mouth. Tell us what the Lord says about our king. Thus saith the Lord. He'll die on that bed. He's not coming off the bed. You think the prophet is telling the truth? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly. Said, Lord, consider me. I've walked before you with a perfect heart. He prayed for 15 years more of life. Then, when the prophet had gone, I watched God's order. Why didn't he speak right back to Hezekiah? Hezekiah was talking to him. That wasn't his order. And you believe Hezekiah was a righteous man? How many believe that? Raise your hand. Sure, he was a true worshiper of God. And he talked face to face with Jehovah. You believe that? Jehovah heard his prayer. Well, why didn't you say, now look, Hezekiah, I heard you. Now you're coming off the bed. Now Isaiah's done went out and made all that prophecy, but I'm telling you, you're going to come off the bed. Why didn't you do that? That wasn't God's way of doing it. He went back out to the prophet. He said, return and tell him that I heard his prayer and delivered. Now here comes the prophet walking back. Oh, we're so right. Well, no, Isaiah has to go back to face those people. No, it's been changed now. It's been changed now because he's going to live and not die. Walks into the gate room. What about it, Isaiah? What's the matter? He's going to live and not die. Walked on into the up and up. What about it? He's going to live. Actually, he just said he's going to die. Is that right? What made the difference? Prayer changes things. Is that right? From death unto life. Prayer changes. There was a prophet who was very much embarrassed. No doubt to go back as far as the people was concerned. But he had to do what God told him to do. Now look, some of you just going on around, you always seek the face of God. And I don't care who tells you anything contrary to what God tells you, don't you believe it and you obey God. Will you do it? I don't care who he is, how righteous he is, how much of a pastor he is, how much of a preacher, whether he's a prophet, he may be son of God, a real, true, ordained prophet of God. But if God tells you something contrary to that prophet, don't you believe the prophet, you believe God. How many believe that's true? Read 1 Kings 13. A young prophet went out and prophesied against all Bethel there and done some miracles. The Lord said, don't you eat or drink. And come back another way from the way you went in. and a real prophet of God went and deceived that prophet. Is that right? Might as well be truthful. He said, the angel of the Lord met me and told me to tell you to come to my house. He met me after he met you. And the prophet, breathing that prophet, turned and went back. What happened to him? A lion killed him. Is that right? And the old prophet wept over it. Sure, because he listened to a man instead of God. No matter who says anything, believe God first. And God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same healer yesterday, today, and forever. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, you shall have it. You believe that? Then take, no matter what person says divine healing is not right, what person says this is not right, take God at his word. He said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be true. Is that right? Now, you can't blame me, friends, for not doing what God said to do. I believe the real true Christian would say, Brother Branham, our prayers are with you to do God's will. For some of these days, I've got to stand yonder, and I believe that that decision that I made in that room the other morning was between a long spell of, I don't know what would have happened, would just say that right there. By God's grace it was. But God let me go right back to that same faith, the same thing, the same kind of, just everything, just exactly the same. Right back to that same spot and dropped everything away from me to stand there alone to make my decision. God be thanked, for with all my heart, my decision was according to the will of God. I believe it with all my heart. Cattle Creek, you might not understand this. I love you with undying Christian love. And God knows this word, that's the truth in it. It is the truth. But look, I trust that God will give me the opportunity by his divine will to return here to Battle Creek someday. There's nothing else to preach the gospel for a while here in Battle Creek. I love you. Don't let this reflect on your pastors and no one. It was just a first place for it to be set up like this. It's just a little error amongst their understanding. And this was, but any time in a meeting, my management knows this to be true, if God should call me, I'd be it right then. Regardless of how much set up or whatever it was, I must obey God. How many of you think that I did right? Thank you. Now, Brother Pastors, you see, 100% over the building. I knew if the Christians would see what was the truth, they'd believe. You pray for me, friends. My God, who I stand before knows tonight, that if it was, I know it was divine will, I would like to stay right here in this city for the next 6 or 8 weeks, till I see this whole thing broke in a revival that would sweep the whole city. I would like to see it. God knows that. And I'm just as willing, but I must be flexible in his hands to do just what Philip would have stayed in Samaria. Very happily would he have stayed. What a revival he's having. Preaching, healing, demons screaming, and people confessing their sins. And God told him not out there to go out to the desert to meet one colored man coming down from Ethiopia. Is that right? And then didn't let him go back no more. What told him? The angel of the Lord appeared to him. Is that right? Said, Philip, come out now. Go out here to Jesus. Is that right? Now the same God that lives then. He does the same thing with his same nature. God does work in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. I want to read the scripture here just now. St. Luke 5. And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gethsemane, and saw two ships standing by the lake, for the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into the one of the ships, which was Simon. I've got ink marks over that, and these are almost marked out of it. One of my favorite texts. This was Simon, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and caught the people out of the ship. Wouldn't you like to have been there to hear that? Been wonderful. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for the draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we called all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when he had this done, he enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drop of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. This is a word I'll leave with you. Look at those fishermen. Just a moment. Look at them. Called all night through the lake. They were fishermen. They know the change of the moon. They know the time of water. And they've stayed all night, commercial fishermen, and have taken nothing. What a discouraging time. Got out, washing their nets, sitting down on the bank. Let's drama just a minute. Look coming down there. I see a young man in his 30s coming walking down the bank. I imagine he looks a little older because he's studying ministry with the springless on him. Come walking down the bank. Two or three men walking with him. And I can look way back up on the hill along there at the fishermen and things along there to say, There is that prophet of Galilee. Let's go down and see what he will say. They get it up to the bank. I look sitting on the log up there, and there's Simon and them washed their nets, destroyed. They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He said, Can I use your boat just a moment? He jumped, got in the boat, they pushed out a little bit. Then as he got to speaking, said, Come here, Simon, you all. God never borrows nothing from you unless he pays you for it. Is that right? He said, Come here. Now thrust out into the deep and let on to take the whole geography. Now Simon said, Now Lord, we've stayed through these waters all night. We haven't taken a fish. We've caught nothing. We know we're a fisherman. We know this sea. We was raised here, our fathers was raised here. And we've taken nothing from it. And there's just no fish in that water. Oh, my. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll lay on it. There you are. And when he let the net down, it finally fell down. He began to pull in a flood. When he pulled the fishes, he began to feel them dropping. Where'd you come from? How did you get there? If there was no fish in the water, taking God at his word would bring fish in the water. Look, friends, you might have seen if you ever doctor's office in this country. You may have been in every clinic you've been around here. The very best of our beloved doctors might have given you the last prescription they can. You've done everything. You might have been through this prayer line, that prayer line, this prayer meeting, this. What do you say tonight? This is Saturday night. Tomorrow's Sunday. Let's say this. Lord, I've done all but at thy word, I'm going to let on the net tonight. Tonight I'm going to believe. This is the time when I'm going to take you to your word. When you said, watch all the things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. When you shall have it, I'm letting down tonight, Lord, every doubt, every fear, and at your word, I'm coming, Lord. Can you do it? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, now I'm made. Your Holy Spirit moving in a miraculous way. God, here's the people in your gifts tonight. Your top wheelchair is coming in. Oh, God, may they be with you and go home. May they go home walking, leaping, praising God. And may, because of this peculiar situation just here, may there be something happen tonight, Lord, that will start this. A revival roaring in this city that won't take thy servant here, Lord. The Holy Spirit will be here. if they'll just pray for me tonight and get the victory, and tomorrow morning maybe be on the street testifying, walking up and down the street, glorifying God, and may there be an old-fashioned revival breakout here that would close every bootleg joint. God, close up these places that's open tonight and make mothers, boys become Christians, and those daughters that walk in the streets and the way they're doing God. May there be something happen before judgment comes. Grant it, Lord, and help me tonight as my in the ministry that Thou has divinely ordered. Thou knowest my heart that I'm trying to be true to the heavenly vision. And now, Father, grant the great signs and wonders will be wrought while we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me for taking so long. We'll go right through the prayer line praying for the sick. Last evening, I asked you this. I said, do you want me to pray for the sick? Just bring the people to and pray for them? I think that's what he wanted. But I ask you, your choice is the other way then. If you don't get in the prayer line, you'll have to check it out anywhere you ask them to be. So now, it's your choice, not mine, it's yours. All right. Now, may the Lord bless you. What is it? All right. Get my ears behind me. All right. Billy, you got out the prayer cards a while ago. Let's start at 50 tonight. You take, how many of you been calling 50? Let's call about 25 tonight, see if we can get a little bigger line. The whole 50, if we can get them standing, but I doubt whether we can get through them all in that kind of a line. If you want to, we can take, let's see what 25 would be to start. Who's got the prayer card B or E? E50. Who's got prayer card E50? Now we can get started. E50, 51, 52, 53, on up for the first 25, up to 75. Line up right here according to your numbers on this side. And now, now look around at one of those prayer cards. Here's one of them out here, see? It's got... If it was you, you'd be very sincere. So pray. Remember somebody. Somebody. All right. Now, ladies, I want you just to talk to me a minute. Jeff, have you been to meetings before?
Yes.
This is your first night to be, well, then, it's time. They'd be a little strange to you. Do you ever read the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Your sister was healing my meeting 3 years ago. Where was that at? Have a good travel? Her sister flew into one of the meetings over 1,000 miles. It flew her in 3 years ago and was healed in the meeting with a cancer lumps on the breast, and she's never been bothered since. Then you would believe. Did she tell you how the meeting worked, how the Holy Spirit moves in the meeting? No good secrets of the heart. Probably that's what happened here. But, said that told her what was wrong with her, had prayer, and it left her. Now, that same Lord Jesus is here tonight. He knows all things. And do you remember in the Hebrew? Because you have to know it was God. And you're aware now that something is here at the platform. You know that something, that you're in the presence of a sacred, holy being, not your brother, of course, but it's a conscious of man like you're a woman, but it's a spirit being. You're conscious of that. You know it. Well, now, I don't know if you've never seen me in my life, but God knows me. And if this is the anointing of the Holy Spirit here, then He can reveal to me if
if he has chosen me back there for a channel to work through, then he can reveal to me just what he wants to. Or he can stop it up, don't reveal nothing. Or he can tell you just what he wants you to know. Is that right? Yes. Now, Jesus was standing talking to a woman one time, and he said, he asked her for a drink, and you know how the story goes. He said, well, Jesus, he said, well, if you knew you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink. And when he went to the conversation, as we talked for a little while, he went right straight to where his trouble was. He said, good with your husband. He said, I have none. He said, thou hast said well, or you have five. He said, I perceive that you're a prophet. And he ran into the city, said, come see a man who told me all the things I ever done. This is just the very Christ. And Jesus entered into the city, never performed no miracles, as you understand. He was leading that for Philip to do what I was talking about. He just went in there and began to talk to him. And they said, now when they said, we believe him because we've heard him talk. Not because the woman said so, but because we've heard him ourselves, we believe that he is the Son of God. And that broke the meeting or the ground, and Philip went out and preached and healed the people, see? Jesus had another way of doing it. He knew he sent Philip to him. Now he's the same Jesus tonight. Is that right? Well, he's able to heal you, sister. Now, whether he's able to, now, I want to question something. Is it all right? See, he, if you're only not able to do it, he has already done it. See, it's your faith to believe it or accept it. See, he has already done it. He couldn't do anything about it because there was a penalty of sickness thing between God and man. Jesus stepped right in and was beaten across the back. By his stripes, we were healed. See, that's already paid for. It's just our unbelief. Jesus said, without them believe, all things are possible. There it is. Here's a checkbook that my name signed on it. Just fill it out and send it to your daughter. You'll recognize it. Isn't that simple? Now look, lady, the reason I've been taking quite a little time with you, I've seen something pass by me. Now, you know I don't know you, but haven't you been to a hospital several times or something? Four times at a hospital. I've seen you go in, come out, go in and out like that different times. Is that right? And don't you have some kind of an inward trouble, like a female trouble in the inward part? And you have also, you have colitis. In the second side, is that right? If that's right, raise your hand. Oh, sister, how would I imagine it's blessing you? And you know that something taking place, you don't even feel like you did a few moments ago. Is that right? If that's right, raise your hand. See, what it is, the angel of the Lord was here speaking, and it was moving to you. Now, if I could only get your faith to believe that, it would be all right, see? And just as soon as the vision went off, a feeling changed, you felt real life. Well, is that right? That's when you were healed. Okay. Your faith is faithful. You believe that, don't you? And while I was talking, I don't know. Perhaps while I was talking, because you heard my voice, but that doesn't mean anything. That was that feeling that you had. That's what it was, see? It was moving through it. Now, you go home, the colitis is going to leave you, and your other troubles, you go home, be well. Give my congratulations to your sister, and the Lord Jesus bless thee, my dear sister. Everyone believe? Now what would be healing everybody from this tabernacle or this church tonight to be healed right now? Couldn't you be healed just now? Sure you should be healed right now. Believe with all your heart. Trying to believe, aren't you, lady, with your hands like this with your hands? You have a prayer card? You don't have a prayer card. Or you do. Now, are we strangers, lady?
Yeah.
How long ago was that been?
18 years ago.
Oh, 18 years ago. You were healed with cancer 18 years ago. Someone prayed for you and you were healed.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Well, I want to ask you some questions. You answer. I see something. Now, what happens when someone has it? You know what I'm talking about. He's that good on God.
Yeah, I think.
And you got the stones on the wound. You got cancer again. Is that right? And you're ready for surgery right now. Is that true?
Yeah,
all right. Well, let's raise your hand up. Look, lady. Death knocks at your door. You believe in your prophet?
Yes, sir.
You return to God and God will return to you. If a man, I'm a little bit of a Calvinist, not that radical kind, but I'm Calvinistic. A man's born again, but you've got to stay away from your calling from God. Wasn't that right?
Yeah.
And you should have went and done something, but you felt like that you wasn't able to do.
Mm-hmm.
You made man yeah. That's right. Now, do you believe?
Yeah.
All right, come here. Do you now say to God, if he lets you live and not die, that you'll serve him all the days of your life, and will go do what he asks you to do?
Yes.
You will. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, knowing standing here, the woman, knowing and realizing the presence of the great Almighty God, I pray, dear Jesus, that you will help her, and tonight forgive her, Lord. No, Paul said, woe unto me, if I preach not the gospel of Christ. Lord, when she backslid on your promises and went back. Now, Father, I pray that you'll forgive her of everything and take her tonight at her word, and she comes to you with her hands up and tears down her cheeks, asking, Lord, to remember her, for we realize that she can't live very much longer like this. And, Father, upon her confession, upon her heart's desire, I ask this demon of cancer that it'll move back from her in the name of Jesus Christ. To give her this chance of life. God bless you, lady. Go rejoice and let me hear what happens to you. Let's say praise be to God. All right, Billy. No, I ever want to be reverent. That the man, he's got a death spirit on him. Almighty God, author of life, giver of every good gift, send thy blessings upon this man. This death spirit moving up to him. Whole shaking being moving up close to me, knowing that he's got to come out of this man. He's standing in your presence. And Lord, we're believers. We believe that what you said is true. You said when the death spirit went out of the man, he could hear. And Lord, we believe that. And you said, I'll give you power if you go forth and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. We believe that. And you say, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, you shall have it. Therefore, Lord, by the commission of an angel, I ask for mercy for this man. Thou death spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I say, leave the man. Come out of him. Raise your hand. It's been this way for about 15 years. Amen. Yes.
Amen. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord,
I love you. I love you. You've been kind of nervous too, haven't you? That's a prostate trouble. It left you the same time. Kind of putting up and things like that. You know what I mean? That's gone from you, brother. You're here now, on the road yourself. Let's say praise the Lord. All right, Billy. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Oh, how can you keep from believing? Why do you doubt longer? What can our Lord do anymore than what he's doing? He's wonderful.
You believe? Something's happened, has it, brother? You'll be all right now? But just wave your hand like that so you can see. All right. Where are you? That man said he left too. He'd like to get over something too, wouldn't he, sir? Do you believe him to be his prophet? Do you have a prayer card? You have a prayer card. Well, just while you're saying that, I don't want you to use it then. You have a double hernia, don't you? A ruptured hernia, is that right? So just raise your hand. See, the man sitting out on the other side of you has a hernia also on the other side of you on that side. Isn't that right, sir? All right, raise your hand up if that's right. Now you see. Well, if you wish to, a man standing here last night was hauling around and got on the street today, had a great big rupture that's ever bit disappeared. It's gone from you. Go now, have faith in God. Little lady, he was over you a few weeks ago. I know what your disease is. If you will believe with all your heart, God will heal you. Do you believe? You had arthritis, didn't you? Is that right? Wave your hand like that. All right. He's done healed you, so you won't have to come to prayer home. I'll just go on home. And you're over your arthritis. Have faith in God. He is wonderful. All right. You're the patient. I mean the lady right there. All right. You, I want to ask you a few questions as a speaker. You're just some woman that's got a prayer card and come up here on the line. There's something strange about the case. I see it right now. What's your nationality?
Sir, you believe with all your heart?
What if the Holy Spirit, that what you feel now, would come near and say to you like he did the woman at the well, her greatest trouble. You tell her what her greatest trouble was. Would you believe me? Accepting. Don't you have something wrong that's either in your throat or it's in your chest one? I see something coughing. It's asthma. Is that right? Is that right? All right. Go off the platform and thank you, Jesus. I'm over it. See? Go off the platform. Give him God praise. It'll leave you and never bother you no more. Come then. Oh, how he moves to get the people to believe. Young man, if you're a very young chap to be sending you sick, what do you think about Jesus Christ? You love him. Is he the Son of God? Is he your healer? Yes. He can make you get over that stomach trouble right now. Is that right? Or then go eat what you want to. Your faith saves you. All of you. Come, little lad. Young Sabbath here, do you believe? You go to Sunday school. You love the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you like to serve him all the days of your life? If he'll let you get well, will you do that? So for his glory that you would do it? All right, let's get there. Come near just a moment. You, with all your heart, just a few minutes ago, when I was speaking to someone here, you standing back down the line like that second lady standing back there now is the same thing. You were very alarmed when I told the lady about what kind of feeling she was having of a nervous condition. Is that right? Because you have exactly the same thing. Is that right? Now, you believe it's going to make you well? But what you want me to do is pray for you. That's what you were thinking about, right? And not reading your mind, but that's what you were thinking. You said, if you go to pray for me, come to your mind right quick. Is that right? That's right. You can't hide those thoughts, you see. It's in his presence. Now come here. Because that's what you have to be well. And you're going to receive it, I believe, with all my heart. Dear Heavenly Father, seeing that the woman has that point of contact, that I must pray for her, thinking it right out of her mind as she is going to, and she is shaking her head otherwise, I pray, God, that you will heal her. And now, this devil, this thing is trying to make her lose her mind. I say to thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of the woman. Now let's get this. Go home, you're going to get well. You believe me? If God knew what you were and what you are, if he knows what you will be, you're going to be all right and go home now. God knows you. All right, come here. Do you believe with all your heart? You believe that he would make you well? You have number one enemy, heart trouble. Is that right? Please. All right? Do you believe that?